Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. So we are discussing about Yudhishthira Maharaj, and we are at the point of Yudhishthira Maharaj having completed the glorious Rajasuya sacrifice and established the supremacy and the glory of Lord Krishna for the whole world to know unambiguously. So after the sacrifice concluded, the various kings who had come there left. Duryodhana, however, decided to stay on for some more time. He had been in charge of receiving the gifts, and the gifts that had come were so many that his heart burned with envy. In fact, Yudhishthira had received so many gifts that many of the tributes had ultimately to be turned away because there was no space. And he had given such charity. Now, thousands and thousands of Brahmins had been given charity, and everybody who had come there had been abundantly satisfied. In the Vedic culture, the king would take pride in giving charity. The glory of a king was known through the charitable disposition. The greater the charity, the greater the glory of the king. Duryodhana's heart burnt with envy on seeing this. And he, as he was living in the palace, he had been allocated rooms inside the palace, he would go around and seeing the dazzling opulence of the palace, he was infuriated. He tried not to be impressed. His eyes were wide open and he was looking at everything, not with admiration but with envy. Admiration means we are happy by seeing something wonderful. Envy means we see something, we understand it is glorious, but we resent it. And he would mutter and curse the servants under his breath. He tried to show people that no, he was not impressed. And on top of that, not only was wealth, materialistic people want wealth and women, the opposite sex. And he saw that Yudhishthira Maharaj had such wealth, and then there was the beautiful Draupadi. Duryodhana had also gone to contest in that Swayamvar, but he had failed. And now, not only was Draupadi there, but Krishna's beautiful queens were also there. And he found his heart burning. And on top of that, the assembly hall, the palace was itself having many illusory designs. It was made by Mayadana, who was a master of illusion. So one time when Duryodhana was walking along, there was a lake, but the water of the lake was completely still. And it appeared as if it was just a continuation of the floor. And Duryodhana walked in and he went right into the water and slipped and fell. And with his crown fell off, and all his hands went akimbo, and his clothes became wet. He was sputtering in agony. More than the physical pain, it was the mortification. And although the Pandavas and their queens, and Krishna and his queens, they meant no harm. But it was a sight to see a fully grown up man falling like that. And especially when somebody is very proud, very arrogant, and a silly person falls, it's a natural human reaction. They laughed. So Duryodhana could have taken it in a light spirit. It is a joke, everybody will laugh and end it up. But he felt all the more enraged. Yudhishthira Maharaj saw this. And he immediately went up to Duryodhana and offered him some towel and other things to dry himself, and tried to assuage his pride. And when he saw the Pandavas and the queens laughing, he signaled them to stop. Krishna remained silent. And as Duryodhana went forward, another time, there were many doors there, but the doors were also not ordinary. At one time, there seemed to be a door at a particular place, but actually, it was a wall. And he walked right into it, and bam! He hit his head against, and his head started spinning. As he appeared to fall, the twins came. Nakula and Sahadeva, and they supported him. And they were trying to restrain their laughter, and Duryodhana could not restrain his anger. Another time, he wanted to go in a particular direction and there was a door, but he thought that the door is closed, and he came right up to there and he heard walking away and the door was open. And even the palace attendants, the servants, they could not restrain their smiles. And Duryodhana could tolerate it no more. Yudhishthira tried to pacify him, trying to tell him not to take this so seriously. But Duryodhana could not control his envy, and he went away. And he vent out the ugly emotions of his heart, the anger, the suppressed rage, the furiously foaming envy. And he, along with Shakuni, schemed. He said, all the wealth Duryodhana has got, that Yudhishthira has got, that can be yours if you can gamble, can arrange a gambling match. They are more powerful than you. You cannot fight and win. But if there's a gambling match, then you can call them for the gambling match, and I am an expert gambler. I will make sure that I win, and I will get all their wealth for you, O Duryodhana. I can cheat, and whatever is required, I'll do to ensure that you win. Just arrange for this gambling match. And Duryodhana went back, and then Shakuni, acting like an elder, he said, Oh, Dhritarashtra, O king, do you not know that your son has turned pale, his color has gone off, and he is sunk in the depths of dejection? Are you not concerned about your son? Dhritarashtra was extremely concerned. He says, what has happened? Son, please tell me. And Duryodhana said, what person can tolerate the prosperity of his opponents? And Dhritarashtra tried to pacify him, but he was not ready to listen. And then the gambling match was arranged. And Vidura was sent. Vidura tried to oppose, but Dhritarashtra was not ready to listen. When Vidura came to Indraprastha, the Pandavas were in their assembly, and it was announced that Vidura had come. They were delighted. Yudhishthira got up and went down to offer his respects to Vidura. Vidura picked him up to embrace him. As he looked at Vidura, he saw that Vidura's face was dried up. It was in great anxiety. He understood, oh, uncle, please tell me, is everything all right? Vidura became very grave and he says, nothing is going to be all right now. And he told about the gambling match. The worry from Vidura's face transferred to Yudhishthira's face. And he said, if we gamble, we will surely fight. Gambling is the root of all dissension. How can we gamble? We should not gamble. And yet, if King Dhritarashtra has called, how can I refuse? He is like my father. And my father to me is like God. How can I refuse his command? And moreover, Yudhishthira knew that he had just taken a vow. As it is in Vedic culture, a person is expected to obey one's elders. And on top of that, Yudhishthira had taken a vow that he would not disobey his elders. So he was left with no option. And feeling great apprehension, Yudhishthira, along with the Pandavas and Draupadi, went to Hastinapur. They rested for the night. And the next morning, they were invited to the assembly hall, which had been specially created just for this gambling match. And various kings and other royal people and courtiers were assembled over there. And Shakuni came forward, and with a malicious and avaricious look. Malicious means desiring harm to them. Avaricious means very greedy. Malicious and avaricious look. Which he was trying to conceal. He said, oh, welcome. Let us now have a gambling match. The whole assembly is waiting for you. Yudhishthira was still hoping to talk his way out of it. And he said, you know, I have no desire for wealth anymore. I have been blessed with abundant wealth. In fact, Yudhishthira had got so much wealth, his treasury was so filled, overflowing in fact, that even after 100 years of rule, the treasury would not get exhausted. Such was extraordinary wealth. He says, I do not wish to gamble because I do not need wealth. And moreover, the sage Devala, I've heard from him that one should not gamble with a professional gamester. And moreover, no one should take another person's wealth by cheating. No one should gamble with such desperate stakes and take from others by cheating. Therefore, why should I gamble? So Shakuni was very crafty, wily, cunning, and he said, we don't have any intention to cheat. And obviously, one gambles because one desires to win something. If you are afraid to play the match, there's no need to play it. Now, for a Kshatriya to be accused of being afraid, that is a way to provoke that person. Kshatriyas are heroic and they are not afraid. So, according to Kshatriya codes, if one is challenged for something, one cannot refuse it also. And he said that Yudhishthira was still apprehensive. And Yudhishthira said that the wealth that I have is meant for serving the Brahmins. It is meant for serving humanity through the Brahmins, who will arrange for the spiritual welfare and the material well-being. I want to arrange of all my citizens. So, why do you want to take this wealth away from me? So, the assembly remained silent. Yudhishthira knew that if Dhritarashtra and Bhishma remained silent, then there was nothing that he could do. He would have to do what they were asking him. And he remained silent. Then he tried another track. And he said, who has wealth equal to mine? To put equal stakes with me. He knew that Shakuni was also a king of Kandhar, but his wealth was nowhere near Yudhishthira's. So Duryodhana came forward and Duryodhana said that I will stake the wealth and Shakuni will cast the dice on my behalf. So Yudhishthira raised his eyebrows and he spoke in a firm voice. He said, this is entirely against the rules of gambling. Now, whoever is staking the wealth, that person should cast the dice. It has never been heard that one person stakes the wealth and another casts the dice. This is highly improper. He objected strongly. And he looked up at Dhritarashtra and Bhishma. And yet they remained silent. And Duryodhana again said, oh king, if you are afraid, then there is no need to play. And Yudhishthira knew that he could not refuse the challenge. Actually, according to some teachers or some scholars in the Mahabharata, it is said that when the Rajasuya Yajna is completed, there is one particular ritual also which is there often at the end of sacrifice. That is, a friendly gambling match is to be played. It is just like whenever there is a great celebration, there are some sports also. So gambling is like a sport and a friendly gambling match was to be played. And that was supposed to be like the culmination of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And Yudhishthira had come there on that plea that had been given to him. So this was supposed to be his crowning glory, but it turned out to be his nightmarish disaster for him. So he started gambling. And 1, 2, 3, he gambled jewels and he gambled his wealth won by within 10 throws of the dice, all of which Shakuni won. Shakuni was a professional gamester and he used to play with professional gamblers. He had made gambling his life and soul, and there was just no way anyone could defeat him. And Yudhishthira was as if in a gambler's frenzy. He started losing things after things. As huge stakes were lost, Arjuna tapped Yudhishthira on his shoulder and shook his head. Yudhishthira looked at Arjuna, contemplated for a few moments, and continued gambling. I mean, caught in a frenzy. And eventually, he lost everything. And then he staked the kingdom. And then he lost his kingdom also. The only thing that was heard in that assembly was the throw of the dice. And Shakuni is calling out, I have won. And then when everything was lost, Shakuni spoke in a taunting voice. O king, what will you put on stake now? And Yudhishthira was desperate. He said, what had happened? They had lost everything. How would they live now? said, somehow I have to get everything back. What has happened? So he was, although he was in a frenzy, he was also praying. Oh Lord, please help, he thought, not knowing what to do. He said, I will gamble, Nakula. And in each stake, when he was gambling jewels, he would tell how glorious and precious these jewels are. So when he was gambling Nakula, he talked about the virtues of Nakula. And Shakuni cast the dice and Nakula was lost. Then despairing, he looked around and he cast Sahadev. And he staked Sahadev, and Sahadev was also lost. And Shakuni narrowed his eyes. Yudhishthira was despairing, not knowing what to do. And there was a lull. And all this time, everybody in the assembly was mortified to see the course of action. First of all, to lose all the wealth was disastrous, but then to lose one's own brothers, to have them become slaves, was horrible. But there was unconcealed glee on the face of Dhritarashtra. You know, that he was a hypocrite. He pretended to be a good person. In fact, he not only pretended before the world, but he pretended to himself also that he was a good person, so that the world would have a better opinion of him, and he would have a better opinion of himself. So it was not, he also had the malice, and with every throw of the dice and with everything that was won, his hypocritical mask was falling, and the unconcealed celebration, the light that was there on his face, that was sickening. And the king, who was supposed to be like a father, meant to protect his children, his nephews, who were like his children, he was watching in glee as they were losing everything. And Shakuni, to goad Yudhishthira, said, it seems, O king, that the sons of Madari are not dear to you. That's why they have been staked, but none of the sons of Kunti have been staked. Yudhishthira became enraged. He said, O fool! You maliciously dared to create dissension among us who are all united at heart. Shakuni, seeing that Yudhishthira had become angry and not wanting the game to end for any reason, said, O king, please forgive me. Under the spell of gambling, one may speak things which one does not intend at all. You are my superior in every way. Please let us continue the gambling match. And then Yudhishthira, knowing that he lost everything, somehow he had to gain it back, so he decided to stake Arjuna. He looked at Arjuna and he said, that person who is the most glorious archer in the world, who has never known defeat, I stake him now. He was thinking that Krishna, he's so dear to Krishna, surely Krishna will not let him be lost. And yet Shakuni won him also. And then the glee on his face was enormous, and throughout this Bhima was enraged. Practically sparks were coming from his face, and finally Yudhishthira, not knowing what to do, he said, that great mace fighter and formidably strong Bhima, who has no match in fighting, now I stake him. And Bhima was also lost. All the four Pandava brothers were crestfallen, but Bhima was furious. All of them were furious also. Bhima was infuriated. And finally, Yudhishthira gambled himself, and he was also lost. And not knowing what to do, just complete dejection. Yudhishthira was looking as if demented. What had come over him? How had he lost everything? Here he was the emperor of the world, and now all of them were slaves. What had possessed him? What was he going to do now? Shakuni's malice knew no limits. And he said, O king, you still have one position. Stake Draupadi. And by staking her, win back everything that has been lost. The whole assembly was shocked. She started thinking what to do. He said, without her husband, Draupadi was already protectionless. Now, her fate would be terrible if her husbands were enslaved and she was unprotected. If somehow he could stake her and gain everything back, then at least they would have something and they would be together. Thinking thus, he spoke. He says, "Now that illustrious lady who is neither too tall nor too short, nor too lean nor too fat, who has fragrance like a lily, who has eyes like lotus petals, who wakes, who is the first to wake and the last to sleep, who is as beautiful as the goddess of fortune, although she doesn't deserve to be staked, but I stake her." Gasps of dismay and horror filled the assembly when Yudhishthira spoke this. And Dhritarashtra was asking, "Has Panchali been won? Has Panchali been won?" And Shakuni threw the dice and it seemed to obey him magically and said, "Yes, Panchali is won. Draupadi is now ours." Yudhishthira was horrified, not knowing what to do. And at that time, Karna, Shakuni, Dushasan and Duryodhana were all delighted and then decided, "Now Draupadi is our maid servant. Get her from the, she does no longer deserves to stay in the royal palace. She will stay along with the maids. Tell her to come here to the assembly." And there was the servant of the, in the court, the named Pratikamin. Pratikamin is the post of the servant. And Pratikamin. So Duryodhana told the Pratikamin, "Go and get Draupadi." Pratikamin had been horrified to see what was happening and he was apprehensive. He timidly went to Draupadi. And Draupadi was actually at that time in seclusion because she was in her period. She was wearing a single garment and her garment was stained with her menstrual blood. And she was sitting there and she saw the Pratikamin coming. And she saw the fear in his face and he asked him kindly, "What is the matter?" And she said, "Oh, great disaster is going to befall the Kuru assembly. The assembly has asked you to come there because Yudhishthir has gambled you and lost you. And the assembly is summoning you to come in front." Draupadi said, "How could Yudhishthir have gambled me? Was there nothing else that he had to gamble?" Pratikamin, his voice trembling, without tears in his eyes, said, "Oh, Yudhishthir had gambled everything. He had gambled all his brothers, even himself, he had lost everything." And then he gambled you. So now Draupadi realized this was a great crisis. And she decided, rather than panicking, this was a situation when most people, you know, if a woman hears that, "Oh, all our wealth is lost," you could have collapsed. But Draupadi remained grave. And she said, "Go and ask the assembly that if Yudhishthira had gambled himself first, then how could he have gambled me? If he was himself a slave, then how was he my master to gamble me? Whose master was he when he gambled me?" The Pratikamin went back. And seeing him coming alone, Duryodhana asked, "Where is Draupadi?" "Yes, she has asked a question to the assembly. If Yudhishthira had gambled himself and he was not even his own master, then how could he have gambled her?" So Duryodhana, Pandavas had been agony and anger on seeing this brazen attempt to insult them and to insult their wife. They're barely controlling himself to heap further humiliation and to increase their misery. Duryodhana smiled sardonically and he said, "Oh, go and tell Draupadi that she should come here and ask this question to her husband, Yudhishthir." The Pratikamin went slowly. So Draupadi was waiting. He says, "The assembly is summoning you so that you can ask this question to Yudhishthir." So she asks, "Who said this?" Duryodhana has said this. He says, she saw that Pratikamin was trembling. He says, "That supreme lord who ordains all things has surely ordained this. In this world, Good and bad things happen to both the wise and the unwise. But the wise know that morality is to be followed. For morality is the greatest wealth and it brings the greatest fruits. So the Kuru assembly should not abandon morality at this time. Pratik, come in, go and tell this, my message, to the assembly. And when he went back, and he said this message again, and he looked around. Actually, before that, Yudhishthir, he had been completely silent, not knowing what to do when first time Pratik come in had come. Finally, when Duryodhana remained silent, not saying anything, Yudhishthir told Pratikamen that, go and tell Draupadi that although she is in seclusion and she is wearing single cloth, she should come to the assembly. That is Duryodhana's order. Now, Draupadi had understood that this is Yudhishthir. So first Duryodhana had given the order and then Yudhishthir had, having no option, seconded it reluctantly. And Draupadi had understood what is happening. So she was appealing to the whole assembly. And at that time, Dushyasan, Duryodhana saw when Pratikamen came back second time and gave this message. So Duryodhana was furious. And he said, oh Pratikamen, you fool! You are afraid of Bhima. And that is why you are not going. Oh Dushyasan, you go and get Draupadi. Now he was using the word Bhima because he had special animosity towards Bhima. And he wanted to hurt Bhima as much as possible. And Dushyasan, enjoying the discomfort, the misery, the fury of the Pandavas, marched towards Draupadi's palace. And as he went into the chambers, like a dog entered into a lioness's den, he marched in. And when Draupadi was sitting and she saw Dushyasan coming, she screamed and ran away. Her intention was to flee to Gandhari's palace and beg to Gandhari for protection. Dushyasan laughed and charged after her and grabbed her by her hair. And she screamed, oh wretch, leave me, I cannot go into the assembly in this condition wearing a single cloth. Dushyasan grabbed her and pulled at her hair and grabbed her ruthlessly, shaking her. He says, now you are our slave. Whether you are wearing a single cloth or no cloth, if the king summons you, then you must come to the assembly. And he dragged her heartlessly. Draupadi was screaming and crying like a female osprey, begging, oh wretch, leave me, I cannot go to the assembly in this condition. Without hearing a word of what she was begging, he dragged her by the hair from the woman's way of the palace right into the assembly. And he dragged her by the hair and flung her. And she fell right in front of everyone in the assembly. And she got up and eyes went towards her five husbands. She was beside herself with horror, anger. She looked with helplessness and fury at her husbands and the five Pandavas. Now, all that had happened in the assembly that did not hurt them, that did not cause them as much pain and anger as the glance of Draupadi, that wife whom they were all duty bound to protect, though their wife would serve them so faithfully throughout. Now she was undergoing such misery and humiliation and begging for their protection, and they were helpless. She turned towards Yudhishthir. The Pandavas couldn't bear to look in her eyes, and they looked away. And Draupadi gathered herself, got up, she folded her hands and back to the assembly. He says, oh virtuous ones, please forgive me that I am not properly attired. I am not in the condition to come to the assembly, but I have been forced to come. All of you are knowers of dharma. You are the dispensers of justice. Therefore, I put this appeal before you. Please tell me. Please answer my question. Yudhishthir had gambled himself away. So how could he have gambled me? In this assembly, virtue is meant to be protected. People, citizens from everywhere come for the protection of virtue. And I come before this assembly for its protection. As she turned and looked at all the elders, nobody responded. Finally, Bhishma realized the onus was on him, being the eldest, and he said, "Oh Draupadi, it is indeed glorious that even when you are facing such a great calamity, you are remembering virtue and are asking us to remember virtue. Such a dedication to virtue is glorious." But dharma is extremely subtle. And one who has gambled himself away does not have anything else to gamble. That is true. At the same time, one who has a husband is always considered to be the master of his wife. So knowing both these things, I am confused and I am unable to answer your question. So Duryodhana replied saying that, "Let Yudhishthir say that he had not gambled you away fairly." So Draupadi spoke and she said, "He was forced to gamble against his will by conniving people who had schemed to defraud him of everything. How can such a gambling match be considered to be fair? I do not consider Yudhishthir, my husband, the king, to be having the least iota of blame. I ask this assembly to adjudge fairly." And as her plea went around, nobody was ready to hear. And as everyone remained silent, at that time, Dushyasan decided. Karna, he was delighting in his own way. Karna had been cut when Draupadi had said, "I will not marry a Suta's son." And he was delighted. So as everybody spoke, Vidura, just before Draupadi had been called, Vidura had spoken the same point. Yudhishthira had gambled himself, so he cannot have gambled gamble Draupadi. Draupadi is not lost. And fine, but now his words had not been heard. Vikarna, one of the brothers of Duryodhana, he did not share so much the evil disposition of Duryodhana. And he got up. He said, "Oh assembly, Draupadi has asked a question before you. You must answer this question. It is the duty of the assembly to answer." And when nobody answered, finally, Vikarna looked around everyone and he says, "I will answer them." And he said, "There are four evils. Gambling, hunting, womanizing, and drinking. But kings are vulnerable to these four evils. And when they succumb to these evils, then they lose their sense and they do grievous things. What they do under such things is not to be taken seriously. Moreover, Yudhishthir had gambled against his will because he had been instructed to do so. And the gambling match was also unfair. And moreover, he had gambled himself away. Therefore, I say that Draupadi has not been gambled and lost." And on hearing this, all the kings cheered. And they all cheered Vikarna and they censured Shakuni for the way the match had taken place. Seeing this, Karna got up. He raised his huge arms and signaled all the kings to become silent. And he said, "I have seen many improper things in this assembly, but the words of Vikarna are the most improper. And nobody forced Yudhishthira to gamble. He gambled voluntarily, willingly. And he lost everything. The match was fair." Actually, Shakuni was too cunning for anyone to be able to detect that he would do any cheating. But right before the match, he had told Duryodhana that, "I will cheat and I will ensure that you win everything." And so he said, "It was a fair match. And moreover, as far as Draupadi's chastity is concerned, what kind of chaste woman will marry five husbands? You know, she's already unchaste. She's a harlot. She's a prostitute. And a prostitute deserves to be treated as such. Now that she is your servant, Duryodhana, you know, why not disrobe her? And the Pandavas, they are also your slaves. They do not deserve to wear the royal robes. They should take out those royal robes. These words were piercing into the hearts of the Pandavas. And they slowly took out their royal robes, their crown, and all the signs that they were kings, and they cast them aside. And Dushyasan moved forward to disrobe Draupadi. And what happened next, we will discuss in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.